When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Robbie Maynard. Hey, Robbie. We are so excited to have you on the show. Before we get into it, though, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners who may not know you and kind of give us a background on how you got into photography?
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
I'm a huge fan of the show. So.
Same.
My name is Robbie Maynard, and I am a photographer from Massachusetts. I got into photography early in my life, like in my 20s, shooting a lot of digital and... I became really disenchanted with digital because I was doing a lot of like heavy editing and I found that it was more about the editing than it was the actual photography. It wasn't until 2017 when my girlfriend, my now wife, bought a Nikon FM10, and I don't want to speak ill of Nikon, but that camera is not very good. But that's what I learned on. That's what she learned on. And we started our film journey and kind of haven't looked back. It's been a lot of fun.
Man, I love that it's the two of you too. That's so sweet. I love it.
Yeah.
It's classic love story.
Nikon
FM10.
Love
over film for time.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because, when we first started shooting film, we sent our film off to CVS because that's like the only thing we knew how to do.
Yep.
So we never got it back. And I was like, well, we're not going to waste money. So I went out and I started to buy like chemistry and a scanner. And I learned how to develop the same time I learned how to shoot film. And I don't know if that's the best thing for people to do when you start.
So that's not advice.
See, I can relate to that totally.
But yeah, I was like, that's like you. You've never used a lab.
Yeah. I learned through the whole the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a very like hands-on learner. I need to like do things in order to understand it.
Good times.
Yeah.
So do you have we obviously want to talk about your fabulous YouTube channel. Do you have a background in video too, or are you just naturally good at it?
Well, I mean, truth be told, I made like, homemade videos on VHS when I was a kid, and I always loved that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was very artistic, but like I remember making my own little VHS cassette cases and like drawing the art for them.
Oh,
and like
man.
Cool.
Writing like the synopsis on the back and all that stuff. Like I was really into like all the details of like movie making, but obviously I was a kid, but I've always loved making movies and trying to tell stories. And I think that helps kind of translate, or I think it translates with the YouTube videos, because the photos are one thing, and when you compare it with like the video side, I think it kind of makes it all come to life. I always like to say that it's like a living journal entry, my videos. And that's kind of how I approach it,
That's my favorite part. Like I was just saying to Chris before we hopped on here, I was like, my favorite part is like your videos, and it's the camera. Like the camera, you keep it still. You know what I mean? Like you're not like zooming and moving and running and gunning and stuff. Not that that would be bad, but like it's almost like a photograph in the video as well. Like I don't know how to explain it. I'm not very tech with the terms of videography stuff, but I just really appreciate that.
I do take a lot of like time finding compositions for the videos too, because it's like everything, I just want everything to look good, that's how I perceive it. So like I want it to to translate, but I used to definitely run around with like the camera and like, yeah, you go through all those stupid trends of like having a gimbal. Like I needed a gimbal for some reason to like.
Guilty. Yes.
Yeah. You spend like $300 on something that like has absolutely no purpose at all in like what I do.
So true.
Yeah. Those are the things you learn, you know? Those are the things you learn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Finding your style with anything is like you have to trial and error and like do what the cool hot thing and be like, this isn't me. You know, like before you like settle on like your aesthetic.
Right.
Especially with photography, that could take years. I mean, I've gone through every genre, I feel like, you know, and I'm like still searching for my style. I love looking at people's work and being like, oh yeah, that's Robbie Maynard's work, or that's, you know, whoever. Mm-hmm. Like that's like my favorite thing, and I feel like at least I'm still striving to get to that point, but I think that's just what the nature of it, you know.
Yeah, I think that's like that's the hardest thing, is like kind of finding your own style. And I used to like put a lot of like stock into that and being like, I need to like find something that makes my images stand out from whoever, you know, Johnny 35mm on Instagram.
Yeah.
And like, you get caught up in that. It's like a whole world of like, you know, it's competitive in a way where you're trying to like beat the algorithm or have your images show up on, you know, whatever the top pages are on Instagram or whatever. And, you know, I that's kind of like part of like why I switched to film, was because it's like I just wanted to get out of that space. Like when I shot digital, it was all about being featured on Instagram pages and stuff like that. And, you know, who could come up with the most interesting images. And it just like, I was just like, I'm just sick of that stuff.
I feel like we could go talk about like the Flickr days, you know, like getting it on Explore or whatever they were called. Like that was like, man, I think I did it like two or three times. And I was like, life accomplished. Like I'm like, I made it.
You know, what's weird about that is that I still occasionally upload images to Flickr.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
And I was on the Explore page and I didn't even know it. I didn't know what that was. And somebody sent me like a message. They're like, dude, you're on Explore. I was like, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
What a
rush,
man.
And then I saw that like my picture had a bunch of likes. I was like, oh, okay. This is a big deal, I guess.
What a great time.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that was all like, because Instagram now we're like, okay, here's a bunch of stuff in our stories. Here's a bunch of stuff in a carousel. Like the Flickr, you would do a shoot. And this is back when I was shooting musicians. So I would like get one that I was like, this is the one that's going to represent this whole shoot. You know what I mean? And then you would like post it.
Yep.
And that was it. Instead of like, here's 35 images of the whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Those are the times. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I kind of look at Instagram that way a little bit, where it's like, I'll just post a couple of pictures like a month and I don't know, like maybe they're not even winners. I just like, just let everybody know that I'm still here, you know?
Yeah. Mm. The thing about Instagram I won't, because my work is like, okay, now it's all film photography and it's like this kind of family stuff. I'm like, well, I can't post stuff from General Hospital because I work on the soap opera General Hospital. Like I just got approved to like share those. I'm like, that's not going to look like, that's going to be like crazy if I post that there, you know? Like, but is it like, who cares? It's my work. It is what it is, you know?
Of course. Yeah. Show people like that's, I love like knowing the people behind the images. I'm certainly guilty of it with my Instagram is like, it's just pictures that I take and nothing of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you forget that like you're supposed to be connecting with the person as well as like the image, and, you know, taking people in and being vulnerable, showing people like the ups and downs, you know. I think I should probably do maybe more of that kind of stuff on Instagram. But yeah, I love like seeing people and like what they're doing in their normal life instead of like polished, perfect photos.
It's true. Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like we all kind of get guilty of it, of only showing, you know, the internet's huge of that, of only showing the good stuff. You know, there's a lot of ick in between the good. And, you know, I used to love when I was doing YouTube a lot, too. Like, I used to love when I would have a fail, because it's always good to show, you know, when you pull the roll out of the tank and it's empty, you know, it's like blank roll.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris, go ahead. I want to hear your story.
I mean, I just had the blank roll. There's the blank roll thing is like, especially like this stage in the game, you're like, I have two stories now, but like anyway, I got a blank roll of like a really important thing for me, you know, not anything that I had to turn over to a client. So like, thank goodness. But like when that happens, this stage in the game, you're like, am I even good at this? Like, I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
Like, how could I get a blank role? I host a YouTube channel. I have a podcast. I could not be getting blank roles. I'm so embarrassed. But like, it happens. It happens. That's just part of it. You know what I mean? No, but the story I was going to tell you about like making mistakes, I'll tell a story quickly behind the scenes. Shoot a wedding scene, like wedding portraits of the actors that just got married in the show.
Which actors?
I can't tell you. but those, we are under the gun on that show. They're like, the actors are like, don't want to wait. We have to go hurry up. They got to move on to the next thing. So me and the social media coordinator are like, okay, let's just like hurry up. So we pose them. I take all the, we got nailed all everything off their list. We got the bride and the groom. We got the bride and the groom and the kids, the bride and the groom and the da, 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 da. And then I'm like, okay, whew, like my day is good. I got what they needed, blah, blah. And I'm like scrolling through and we had put them in front of like, they had this statue with like wings.
Oh no.
Like an angel thing. Tell why their face is right. Their wings are growing right out of their head. And this stuff in my real life wedding, I would have just been like, all right, I'll Photoshop that, no problem.
Yeah.
But I don't have control of these. This is like, they go to their people,
right.
And they,
yeah,
I can't. So I texted the social media guy. I'm like, look, I think we were going fast, but like, I should have caught this. Like, the wings are growing out. And he was like, don't even worry about it. Like, I didn't notice it. They're not going to care. But I'm like, but it's my, like,
yeah,
I would never, ever, ever, ever let that go by. So I was like, he's like, I'll mention it to the Photoshop people. I'm sure they're going to want to touch up people's faces. So like, you're fine. No, tell me they posted all of them with the wings coming out of their head.
Like, I was going to say, this day and age, there's probably like a wings around their head button on Photoshop that they could just click.
Please.
You know.
I'm like, yeah, you can just AI that right out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Man.
But that happened too. And that was like completely out of my control. But yeah.
Yeah. That's unfortunate. Cause you're like, no, I'm good. I swear. Yeah. I know what I'm
and
doing.
Also like if that were to happen, like I said, I would fix it. I wouldn't turn it over. Like I would, cause it was like 10 photos. It would have took me 20 minutes, maybe even that.
That's
frustrating.
Anyway. Robbie, I wanted to talk to you. One of my favorite things about your YouTube, Tim and I were talking, like it's very like zen for us, like all the stuff that's going on in the world right now. I'm able to watch your channel and just like lift my anxiety a little bit. But I wanted to talk to you specifically, something we do talk about on the show a lot is the inspiration videos that you do, where you take a specific photographer, a specific body of their work, and then you share it with us. And then you say, this is the work that I created on because of that, which I think is so good. So I guess I just wanted to say, is that a part of your everyday, you know, thought process when you go out and shoot, or is it something you do specifically for the channel, or is it all of it?
Well, it started as like a way to, I mean, I just started looking, you know, going through books, especially like older books that I've had, mm-hmm. that like your perspective changes on all these things so often. You go through an old book and then you're like, why did I not pick up on these things earlier? So I started to find a lot of inspiration from books. And I was like, how can I illustrate this in a way that would be interesting for like the channel? And then, you know, you deal with like the struggles of like, do I really need to tell people like how important, you know, a work by Joel, you know, Sternfeld is, or like why, like who am I to like do a review on somebody who's like, far, you know, more successful than I'll ever be. You know, it started as just a way to sort of, you know, show people that there are things out there that inspire. Actually, mm-hmm. I'm working on a bunch at the moment.
Yeah.
They take forever.
Yeah.
But I just picked up Sunshine Hotel from Mitch Epstein, which is like a gigantic book. And I'm really looking forward to diving into that. But the problem is now I have like four others that like I've already recorded and I've done the dialogue for. And then now it's like the editing is the hardest part. And, you know, just sitting down and doing all mm-hmm. that. But it's a lot of fun. I love going through people's work. I love Justine Kurland is like, I think my favorite photographer.
So
she's
good.
She's special. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's something about the way she's able to tell stories and the way that she composes every image. Mm-hmm. Like it's the last image she's going to make. And there's something about that when you see somebody put so much care into a singular image that you just kind of like, you gotta like, you just want to get out of your chair and go do something yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the kind of artists that, like, I really love. It's, you know, people that make you want to do what they're doing, or, you know, find your own voice. And I just love that. I adore Justine Kirl and Barbara Bosworth. Obviously, Joel Sternfeld is a huge inspiration for me. Yeah, there's just so many, like, really big, important photographers out there that that really inspire me.
I think you're doing a great job also, like, introducing those photographers to people who may not, you know, it's hard to know everybody. You know, I don't know everybody. So, like, just having somebody else, you know, doing, just being able to share that with the people, I think is really important. Because, like you said, it's like somebody could see that video, see your work, see their work, and then just be like fired up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you guys, I mean, you guys do that too. I mean, like, there are so many artists that I, like, don't even know about. And then I'm like, you know, because I just go through the podcast and I'm like, I don't know who this person is, but I'm going to listen anyways. And then, you know, you're like, oh my God, like, this person's, like, really talented. You know, I'm so grateful to you guys for, like, introducing me to them. I don't know. I think that's the great thing about the photography community. I feel like it is, like really supportive. And out of all of the, you know, quote unquote communities that, like, you kind of exist in as you grow up through different hobbies and stuff.
Yeah.
They can be really hard to, like, you know, be accepted into, or, you know, not be kind of shunned out of. But, like, the photography world, I feel like everybody is, like, supporting each other and lifting each other up. And that's why I love what you guys do, because it brings, you know, brings people together, first of all. And yeah, it brings awareness to everybody's sort of their thing, you know, whatever it might be.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
I, like, forgot. I'm like, oh, we did that? No way.
I have a question about your photography and YouTube and all that stuff. Do you still go out and shoot just for you, where you don't take the camera with you? Like the video camera with you?
Yeah. The lines get blurred for sure.
Yeah.
I do definitely, like, earlier this morning I went out and shot, and I didn't take anything other than just my film camera. But there are definitely times where it's like, am I just doing this to make a video, or am I trying to make intentional images? And yeah, like, the lines do get blurred, and you kind of forget what you're doing sometimes. And I think that's what happens with YouTube. You get so caught up in wanting to be successful and wanting to make it, you know, your job. I don't do photography for a living. So, you know, I have a not a 9-to-5, but I call it a 9-to-5. But it's more of a 2-to-10. And and you know, that's what pays the bills, and the photography is secondary. But, like, eventually I'd like to not do the day job and be the photographer. But you definitely kind of, like, you have to separate it at a certain point and, like, understand that the photos are more important than the video. I don't want to be the idea wasn't to be a YouTuber.
Right.
The idea was to be a photographer. That's what I wanted to do, to get out and make images. And the video was secondary. But yeah, sometimes it does become primary, and then you kind of forget what's going on.
Yeah. We struggle with that a lot, I think, too.
Definitely.
With, you know, it's hard. I mean, we don't want to be, like, influencers by any means. We just want to be, we like you said, we want to share people with the community and be a part of it and all that stuff. But sometimes you're like, man, I just want to be a photographer. I don't want to have to worry about, like, if you could just, like, I mean, I'm taking a social media break right now, just in general, but, like, I would love to.
I think that's important.
Yeah. But, like, create a body of work behind the scenes and then, like, come back with something substantial. We've talked about this, I'm sure, a million times, too. Just the idea of that, it's, like, so exciting, you know, that we have. And I think it's important for anybody to just, like, if you can focus on just your work and nothing else, I think you'll benefit from it. And I think your work will, too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think as artists, like, the greatest thing you have at your disposal is time, you know, nobody has to know exactly what you're doing. And, you know, you don't have to show all of your work. You don't have to show how you found it, how you got there. You know, it's like you just have to show when you're ready, when you think the image is perfect, and not when the process has started, or, oh, I'm hitting some speed bumps. Like, I do that all the time. I'm just like, I get lost in it. And I forget that, like, I don't have to show anybody anything. I can just hold on to it until it's ready.
That's what we talk about, like, photo books and stuff. Have you got any plans for any photo books? Because that's the kind of thing where keeping it all for something special, like a book or a show or something like that.
Right, Right. I mean, I would like to be as like prolific of a bookmaker as like Robert Adams. He has like 1,000 books. But like, I don't have anything lined up, but I'm constantly going like, this image I'll probably won't show people ever until it fits into something else. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like you make images, you go through like, you know, 1,000 shots, and there's like one that you're like, that's one that's going to have to be hidden away for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I would love to definitely make a book at some point. I would love to make a lot of books at some point. I do get lost in the ideas, and you know, you have so many. In my phone alone, I have like an application where there's like 64 ideas that are all kind of going at the same time. Just depends on like where I happen to be or the mindset that I'm in. But like, there's always like things going on, and I'm always curious to hear other photographers' perspective on that, because I don't understand how to just stay focused on one idea and to work through it for like months or years, or you know, however long it takes. I don't know how some people do it.
Yeah, I was gonna say like I will put all this work into it and like be done at the end, and then like look at it and be like, this is all garbage. You know,
trash.
I'm starting over.
For me, it was so easy when I was living in Franklin. Like when I was down in Tennessee, I had a great little, you know, it was how many blocks was it? It was 1, 2, 3, like 4 block radius that I would walk multiple laps a day and capture that town, you know, because it was one of those things where I first moved there. It was pretty chill, pretty quiet. And as the popularity of Nashville and its surrounding areas grew while I was there, you could see it was just like growing into something way more than it was. So it was really neat to go and capture that and get the daily grind of a little small town, you know, and a little big small town, because it was very heavily populated. And that was neat. And then COVID happened. I had to stop. And it kind of still hurts a little too much for me to go back through that work. But I know when the time's right, there's something there. You know, I have about eight, 9 years worth of something to give to that.
Yeah.
And the cool thing was, is while I knew I was working on a project like that, like in the background of doing things like portraits and just doing like random stuff like keeping it fresh, where I wasn't always, you know, not every day I went for, you know, 5 laps around town, but pretty much every day kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Timothy, I want to say we're ready for that body of work whenever you are. Like, you tease us a little bit on threads and stuff, and I'm like, oh, it's so good. And then I'm like, damn, he's not going to do anything.
I need to just like collect it all and give it to somebody to go through to have them. Cause I look at them. It's one of those things. Yeah. Like, it's, you either look at your photos from before and you're like, man, these are way cooler than I thought they were. And then 2 weeks later, I'll look through them again, and I'm like, all trash. Everything is trash. Like, I'm never showing this. Like,
you should send it over to like a curator and have them like just, like, start sequencing things and just pulling things randomly.
I was in talks before I moved with the Franklin Historic Society they wanted to do a book. They were like all about, I was their like featured artist every art crawl and stuff. And they were just like, we got to do something with your photos. And then COVID happened. And, you know, I haven't talked to him since. So
you got to swing back around though. Like, people remember that, you know, like,
Photos have a way of lasting forever, right?
Yeah.
They do.
You just put a bug back in their ear, and, you know, like, because that's really important work, I feel like. You know, if they're interested in putting a book together, it's going to mean something, you know?
Of course, I'm always down.
I'll be your publicist or manager. I'll be like, I'm
there you go.
Out on
there
Timothy's. You go.
Well, we couldn't not ask you about the Oxbow. I love your Oxbow series. I love every time you say the word. It's such a cool word for a place. Like, it's just, talk to us about that project. It's one of my favorites.
Well, yeah, it started as just a way for me to like shoot more large format. I think even like the first video, I was like, I need to scratch that large format edge. And like, ever since then, I was like, I was just like, I need to get back out there. But yeah, I mean, I saw Joel Sternfeld's work, and obviously that's what the name is derived from. And it's sort of just a continuing documentation of that landscape. I always talk about like the dilemma of being derivative of other artists, especially someone like Joel Sternfeld. But, you know, things, you know, change, and it's important to document how they change and why they're changing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, though I think a lot of like my videos are kind of political in a sense, or at least have some sort of like underlying political belief system.
Yes.
I don't want to like be preachy or anything, but when you photograph a natural landscape, you are sort of having to understand what is happening and how we affect it. And that is just like one of my favorite places on the planet. It's not as large as maybe I make it look. And it's just, I don't know. You can just walk around there for hours and get lost in the woods. It's sort of like being a kid again, you know? You just kind of like wander down a path and then you see something that catches your eye and you go off the path, and now you're just in the middle of the woods bushwhacking through, and he's finding like old bottles or, you know, it's the large tree. You know, it's like you just like forget that you're an adult boy.
Yeah.
And you're just, you know, you're a kid again. And I think that's part of like why I love that area, you know.
So is it game land, or what is it that allows you guys to be on it all the time? Because I feel like if I would go out into a cornfield here, I would get shot in like a second.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I had thought most cornfields were like that. I thought like everything was like cool, and then kind of recently I went to a place and this guy was like, "This is private land." I was like, "Oh, sorry. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to walk around here."
Whoops.
Yeah. There was no trespassing signs.
I mean, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
But no, I think the land, it's partially owned by the Audubon. And some of it is just like public farming land and some of it's private. But like the people who own the private sections are like, they understand that it's a really important place to people to go and walk and just kind of get back to nature. So they don't really mind, you know, nobody messes around out there. So it's like the people you see are like, you know, dog walkers. And I saw a guy out there recently. I didn't have my camera, obviously, big mistake on my part.
I hate
that. he had a hawk, and he was like, the hawk was like flying around and it would come over and catch, you know,
no
go on his arm.
Way. What?
Yeah.
I'd be like, stay here. I'll be right back.
Yeah, the only issue is that I live an hour and a half away, so.
Yeah, stay here. I'll be right back.
4 hours later.
Yeah, 4 hours later.
Yeah, but like, bad timing. Like, I just wanted, like you were talking to earlier, Tim, you just kind of like, you don't want to take a camera sometimes. You just want to be in it.
Uh-huh.
And I like left my phone in the car, and I was just like, I'm going to go just walk and see what I find. And I find something cool, and I don't have anything to take a picture of it with.
How it goes.
It's always that way. Yeah. You bring every single piece of gear and there's nothing. And then you're like, today I'm going to go and just experience the world. And then you're like, a guy with a hawk? Come on.
Yeah, it was a big hawk too. It wasn't like, I was like, what are the chances that this is the time I find this?
I did want to
say about your landscape work, but then you also are like, I saw a guy walking with his dog and I'm going to grab his portrait. And I'm like, what? You just like walked over there and asked? Like, oh, I wish, especially where I live, LA, people are just like looking great all the time. You know, this guy came around the corner. He had like this vest and a cowboy hat. I had my Leica around my neck. I watched him walk right by me. And then I was cursing myself because I didn't have this guts to just be like, wait, hold on, like, you look fantastic, can I just grab a portrait? How hard is that, right? Like, I just said it out loud right now, that's not that hard.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Do you get nervous? Like, what's the process of you just like go for
it? Totally terrified. And I know that like most of the time they're gonna be cool and they're not gonna care.
Yeah,
but you know, there are times where they're like, no, get away from me, you weirdo. Yeah. And those are the times that I'm like, I don't want to go bother somebody.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely like a lot of anxiety when it comes to those things. I would never last as a street photographer. I listened to the Trevor Weiskopf episode you guys did, and I was like, if I just had like that guy's ability to just
I know.
not care and just like go for it, knowing that, you know, we only live once, and that, like, mm-hmm. this image is more important than getting yelled at or maybe punched in the face, you know? Yeah. But it's just one of those things. Yeah, I don't know. I'm, like, riddled with anxiety most of the time. So, like,
ditto.
Whenever I'm put into a social situation, it's, like, it just gets amplified. But at the end of the day, you know, somebody says no, no big deal.
Right.
You know, if they say yes, you know.
Yeah, hey, best day ever.
Now your day is made. You know, it's like, now you, like, there's something about it. Like, when you take a photo of a stranger and they say yes, and you make an image, and whether or not it's a good image or, you know, a terrible one, you just, like, you have this confidence. It's almost like, you know, like a runner's high or something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I can do anything now. I have the ability to make my best work right now, because, like, that was the worst thing that I could possibly go through this morning, which was, like, run into a stranger that I want to photograph and have them say no, or have them say yes, or whatever. And now I got that out of the way, and now I can just, like, be free to
conquer the world. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I love that.
Actually, it's funny because I ran into this guy in Cape Cod where I was shooting for Joel Meyerowitz's Cape Light. And he was on his bicycle going down to the beach. And I was kind of, like, tailing behind him, not in a creepy way, just because the road was, like, he was in the road. And we eventually met at, like, this entrance to the beach. And I asked if I could take a picture. He was like, yeah, sure, of course. And I took a picture. I was like, great, that's fun. And then I went back to my car, started to drive away. And I look over, and he was half naked and wearing just a loincloth covering the front and back of him. And I was like, I pulled back around. I ran out of my car, but he, like, disappeared into the dunes.
Damn.
And I just, like, couldn't find him. I don't know if he was a figment of my imagination.
You made, like, him up, yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, this is the greatest person I've ever met. I need to go photograph this man. I just couldn't find him.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, those are the ones that I think about. It's like missed opportunity.
That's the other thing. Like, these kind of things, when you don't do it, like, getting the no is better than they haunt you. Mm-hmm. Haunt you. Oh, yep. My God. It's like forever I'm thinking about this image that I could have had. It's so true.
Yeah, that happened, like, months ago. And I it's like the one thing that I was like, maybe I should just go back and wait and see if that man comes back. You know what I mean? Like, but that's the great thing about, like, photographing strangers is that it's impossible to sort of duplicate, you know? It's you have to be in the right spot at the right time at the exact right moment. And you need to be there, you know? You need to have the courage to ask for the image.
Yeah.
And just take it.
What's that saying, like, shoot first, apologize later, you know?
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, there's plenty of times where you don't ask.
Guilty.
When I do, like, when I go with my wife and we, you know, I'm taking pictures, I'll sneak behind her or something, and I'll kind of use her as, like, a cover.
Oh, yeah.
Take a picture. She gets so mad. She's like, yeah. She's like, don't do that. People don't want their picture taken. I was like, they don't even know.
Yeah, it's they have no clue. No clue.
And they're not going to punch a woman in the face, you know? Yeah. I mean, hope not. Jeez.
Yeah. Just using your first shield is for everything.
Oh, man. I
like that you have so many questions.
Yeah, I mean, your stuff is really, it really resonates with both of us. So
I really appreciate that. I wasn't sure, like I've been asked to do some podcasts, and I always just say no because I don't watch them. You know, it's sort of like when people, like, ask you to be a sponsor or something. Like, I don't use the product. I don't want to talk about how great it is. So, like, when you guys asked, I was like, oh yeah, I got to get on that.
Cool. Yeah,
and I was like, I hope they actually watch my videos.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, we're pretty intentional about people we have on the show. So
that's good. Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome. Do you guys are you guys fans of Brian Burks? Because he reached out to me yesterday and he was like, "I'm a huge fan of that show." He's like, "I got to get on it. I don't know if you can put in a good word for me."
Oh,
like,
Brian,
I got to get on that show.
We've talked about.
We've been
getting
actually
Brian on.
Talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, really,
dude? Yeah. He's. I mean, he's great. I love his work. I mean,
I do too.
His large format stuff is like.
Yeah, he's Brian Burks is one of those people that, like. You talked about having the courage to go up to a stranger. He he does it.
Knocking on
right
doors.
Up to their house, knocks on the door. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever find that kind of courage, but, like, and he seems very timid sometimes in his videos where he's like, I was afraid to ask, but, like, he still does it. And I think, you know, he gets the image.
Man, see, that's where I want to take
he's in the works.
Myself. Like, Because I'm no longer in an area where I have people just pouring out of every scene, yeah. You know, like now I walk right. down the street and I'm literally the only person walking down the street. And
yeah,
I need to figure something out because I've been working on a project for probably, well, since I've been here a couple years now. And what it's missing is the portrait, some environmental people. Shots yeah. of people in
right.
in the town and stuff. Like, so I think I need to pull a page from his book and mm-hmm. oh God, imagine knocking on a door.
That's a next level.
Like, imagine knocking on the door of like a Midwesterner who's just like, come on in, you want some yeah. food? Yeah. In Massachusetts, they're like, get away from my house.
Yeah. You know?
Like, same here, man. It's like, yeah. why does this person different. Have a camera? What are they trying to get yeah. me doing? Like, it's a little different on the East Coast.
Very, yeah. Very, very different, yeah.
Is there any, like, parks or, like, town squares? Or you got to go to the city, I feel like. You got to go to, like, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I live, like, 15 minutes from Providence, Rhode Island. And
oh, really?
45 from Boston. So, like, I got a good, like, in-between.
But yeah.
I prefer Providence because there's yeah, like nicer yeah. people.
Yeah.
And like it's more artsy. Like we usually go and hang out by like RISD and Brown and stuff like that. And we'll go get like lunch and hang out, take pictures. Boston is just like you park somewhere and it's like $50 just to park.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then, you know, you're too far away from anything else. And you're
like the history
not a lot
there,
of fun
like
out there, to be honest.
The history of Boston, like that's what I miss about the East Coast. It's like goes, you know, 1600s.
Well, it's the beginning,
back, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the beginning.
It's the start,
yeah. Literally.
Original. Yeah,
it's the original OG America.
Dude, I used to love Rhode Island. I had a buddy that went to college. Mm. I forget which school he went to, but we used to go up all the time and be in the city, go to Newbury Comics, and just like
yeah.
You
know,
Newbury Comics, I love that.
Oh, dude, it's so good. And
there's still a couple around.
Are there? Good, good. That makes
yeah,
me happy.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I didn't realize you were that close. Very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. We're like, I'm on the border of Rhode Island and Massachusetts, so get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be right back with listener question for Robbie right after this message from our sponsor. Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We laugh. We develop some film. We talk shop. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks. All right, guys, this is part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Andy Dreads BMX. And they wanted to know, do you shoot 35mm anymore?
Ah.
Oof. God, not as much. But I mean, I do shoot. I went to a concert recently. I saw Shaky Graves, who's like my favorite artist.
Oh, hell yeah.
We shot. Yeah. I shot an Icon L35. AF.
Love it.
Just kind of messing around, but I do shoot a lot of 35mm when I go to wrestling. I shoot some professional wrestling shows.
Man.
Where can we see those images?
I don't really post them that much.
See?
Yeah, I'll have to start like throwing them on my stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's mostly black and white just cuz it's easier to work with.
Yeah.
Like T-Max, you know, 3200 yeah, and stuff yeah, like yeah. that. But yeah, I usually use, I don't know where my camera is. It's, I usually use my Olympus OM4 Ti and a 35mm lens. And I just like walk around the ring, you know, get all the people that are there going crazy, yeah. drinking on a Thursday night. And yeah, that's about the only time I shoot 35mm.
Wow.
But there is like an ease of it that I do miss where you can just kind of blow through frames and not.
Yeah.
Not really worry too much about it.
Well, that's because you shoot a lot of 6.9. So that's, I mean, that's eight mm-hmm. shots.
I do.
You know what I mean? It's eight shots.
That's eight shots. Yeah.
And you yeah, gotta make yeah, them count.
Because yeah. there's so many times where I get home and I'm like, I have one more shot. Do I just burn it? You know,
yeah.
taking a picture of the dog? Or do I just wait?
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, yeah, I'm going to wait because it's getting more expensive.
Yeah.
Between that and large format, it's like... Yeah, you start spending a lot, especially color negative on large format. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
It becomes a little crazy. I took two shots recently of the exact same scene with just slight changes. And I was thinking about a third, and I just was like, how much money is that?
Yeah.
And how many more olders do I end up in my bag? You know, there's a lot more sort of, you know, intention behind shooting large format and medium format for me than there is with 35mm, where you can just kind of shoot whatever and not really care. 6x9 and 4x5 are just like, you know, you're really thinking about what you're trying mm-hmm. to do, because it's, you know, it's in your benefit to make it work.
Do you find it's harder to get through a roll of 36 frames?
Oh, yeah. It's like impossible. Yeah. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
Are you the same way?
Oh, totally. I'm trying not to be now because I don't like, you know, we talk about hoarding film, like my fridge is full and I've got this beautiful child here now that I'm like, I'm just going to shoot. If it works out, it doesn't, but I'm not going to be so sacred with each frame. Because that's like we talk about mm-hmm. making mistakes, or like if you don't think something's film worthy, but like take it because it probably is. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's something I'm actively working on.
There's something about film too. Like even a really boring, mundane shot that looked mm-hmm. like nothing can be like spectacular. You know?
Totally.
That was a big thing for me for a while, was just because it was shot on film, you know, that it was a good yeah. photo. And it took me a while to kind of break that, because I see that back in like a lot of my real early YouTube videos when I started like my first roll of Kodak Portra, you know what I mean? And it's like pictures of rubbish bins, mailboxes, and you know, it's funny. And I was like, that's a gorgeous shot. Oh, I got to share that. And it's a trash can. I mean, like, Tim, come on.
But it looks really cool because it's shot on film. Like, right. Still, you know, like you relate.
A grain.
It looks good.
I think we all fall into that trap at some point. But like, I don't know. There is something to it. It does look pretty nice.
Totally.
Yeah.
And just to kind of circle back from your videos too, like it is almost a diary entry of what you're doing. Yeah. I really love that. Because in one of your latest videos, you're just like, I don't like, you know, color positive and slide film and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's so true. Like you really do find what works for you. And
yeah,
it's really neat when you got, you know, you got your 6x9, you got your 4x5, you got your film stocks that you like. And that's, I feel like, is the biggest thing you can do for yourself. Is kind of hone in to what works for you. That's how you get to that. Yeah. Remember how we were talking about your style and your look? I think that's kind of how you got to do it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Once you find something that works for you, you got to stick with it. Yeah, I did. I feel like a lot of people go like, oh, I need to shoot this if I'm going to shoot this. Or like, I need a Mamiya 7 and I need to have all of, you know, all these lenses and stuff. And for me, it's like, I don't know. You just kind of get out of your way at a certain point. You find what works and you just stick with it. I do sometimes think that like I should leave some stuff on the editing floor on the, you know, in the YouTube videos. Like I don't want to ruffle any feathers with maybe this segment, so maybe I'll take that out.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, who cares? You know, I don't like color positive. Whatever. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
No, it's great.
But yeah, I do. I don't know. It is like sort of therapeutic in a sense to like go out and just be with the camera. And even though I'm aware that I'm making videos, one thing that I think is like really important when you're making a video by yourself is like that, you know, you talk to the camera as almost as if it's a friend.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And like you're out there just, you're by yourself. You know, the camera's not going to respond. You know, no one's actually watching.
Yeah.
But it's almost like there's a friend with you and you can kind of just talk about whatever. And, you know, at the end of the day, you go back through the clips and it almost looks like you're a delirious person. You're having a conversation with the camera. But like some of my favorite YouTubers that do photography are the people that like really are good in front of cameras that you can connect with. You know, there's like I said, like the camera is like a friend and you're watching it and you feel like you're their friend. Like Jason Kummerfelt, you know. Yep, I've never met him or talked to him, but I feel like he's a friend because I've watched his videos, like Nick Carver, Kyle McDougall, you know, these people, like they just have a way of communicating with themselves, essentially, that makes it feel like you've known each other forever, you know?
You're there too, man. I feel like
I
appreciate that.
And it's great because, I mean, watching your videos to talking to you now, you are that guy. Like you're the guy that's in those videos. You're just It's great.
I wish I was as funny as Jason Comerfeld is.
Oh, don't we all? I mean, come on.
I wish I could make it like a video that like sounds as good as it does in my head.
Right.
But then I try to like say a joke and it just doesn't translate. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm done.
You got your funny stuff, man. You crack me up. It's good stuff.
My wife always asked me to keep the bloopers in.
Yes.
And for a while I was keeping them at the end, and then it just became like too many that I was like, yeah. No one's going to want to watch me fumble over my words for 15 minutes.
They are great though. When you get to see somebody's human, it's a very, very nice thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's I like that part too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You got to keep it real, you know?
Exactly.
All right. Now we got to give you the tough ones. They might not be tough, but they could be tough. Two camera questions. Part one is the desert island camera. Is there one, you know, you just can't live without? What's it going to be and why?
Well, if I'm going to be on a desert island forever.
Well, it's a magical desert island. Don't forget.
Is,
so you have a photo lab, batteries, like
perfect.
None of that.
Yeah.
None of that matters on this island.
I would probably choose like something ultra large format, something I've never used before. Something like 20 by 30. Like field camera.
Mega.
And just like spend 24 hours like composing a single shot and do that for like the rest of my life little island, excluding all the, you know, the photo lab that's there and the people that are also on the island with me. Yeah, no, I would definitely choose something huge and just spend all my time taking pictures.
Wow.
I enjoy that.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
All right. Part two is the white whale. Is there anything out there that, you know, you've just always wanted that you know, you're lusting after, you're searching the bay?
The bay.
I don't know. I don't know. I always get like caught off guard with this question because I can't think of cameras. I guess like I don't know. There's like no camera that I think I really want. Maybe like a camera that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there was a Fuji GSW that had a closer focusing distance and a faster aperture, like that would be the camera that I would probably dump all my money into. But like as an existing camera, I don't know. I like the Nikon F3 Titan, or is it the F2 Titan? I forget what that is, but I Jason Comerfeld has one, and
two, I think
he posted it. Like, he has two now.
Well, no, I think it's the F2. I think.
Oh, okay. I was like, if he has two, he can probably, you know, he can just send one on over. You know?
Yeah, it's the F2 Titan. Yes.
That okay? Yeah, yeah. I think like when I was getting into film cameras, that was definitely the Nikon F2 Titan. Was like, that is cool looking.
Yeah, it is,
you know,
a really cool,
really
one.
Classy. Yeah, I like the font on the Titan. It looks like I don't know if you guys golf, but it looks like the Titleist font.
Yeah,
I like
it
that.
Does.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah,
does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really classy. You know, I like that.
Yeah, can't go wrong with a classy, classy camera.
Exactly. I'm not much of a Leica person. I've shot one. I understand the appeal, but I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, it's for some people, and it's...
We're always jealous of people who are like, I'm good. Me and Timothy are always like, back and forth texting. Like, I want the Fuji GA 645, you know, I want this, I want that. I'm on the eBay event for the M6. I'm going to sell everything else. It's horrible. But if you're like, I'm set, like, to be at peace like that.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I've always liked the Bronica RF645.
Yeah.
The fact that it shoots in the vertical, you know, standard.
Yeah.
I don't think I could get used to that. Even though the camera's beautiful, it looks amazing. I just know myself that I would get so annoyed by like these like little things, and I'd be like, this isn't worth it for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like shooting half frame almost, like a big half frame
camera.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I've kind of like, I don't know. I shot 6.45 for so long that I think now that I've been shooting 6x9, I just like, I can't go back.
Yeah.
Can't go back.
I still regret selling my G-dubs.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot for it.
That's my problem. I don't sell anything because I'm like, I know I will regret it somehow, some way, you know?
Yep. I sold the first ever camera that I bought.
What was it?
No.
It was a Nikon L35 AW in that orange.
Oh, the why?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh.
it was a big mistake. I still think about that camera and I'm like, it was just so perfect. It was like the AF, but like just big and bulky, and you could just do anything with it. Mm. I took so many great pictures with it, and I don't know. Yeah, you just make bad decisions sometimes, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
It really does happen. It does.
It does.
Well, great answers. Well, great answers.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been so great. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. Again, we're fans over here, so we really appreciate it. And keep doing what you're doing, please.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of you guys as well. And I appreciate everything you've done for the community and giving people their voice and giving out opportunities. It's really important. So keep doing what you're doing.
We're not going
Where can
anywhere.
Everybody check out the channel? Where can everybody check out the... You got a website, Instagram, plug, whatever you want here.
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram and YouTube at Robbie Maynard Creates. Patreon too, if you feel so inclined to support me. I don't post much on there, but you can, all of your revenue, all the things that you give, all of it goes to supporting the channel and things like that. So I make it very clear in the description that like I don't post on here much, but
yeah,
Patreon, Instagram, YouTube. I don't know. Come to my house and hang out if you want. I don't know.
Yes. Go on a photo walk in the East Coast.
Hang out at the Oxbow. I'm sure I'll see you there.
Yeah.
I need to.
Hey, if any of you guys ever come up here, I'm happy to help you.
100%.
No, I love that. Yeah, I mean, like that. I just said, like especially this time of year, I wish I can go back to the East Coast.
It's the time.
It's a good time of year. Yep.
Timothy, where are you?
Guys, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, all Timothy Makeups, just especially for YouTube, bunch of old photography videos there. Go to the search bar, just type in Timothy Makeups. TimothyMakeups.com. That is it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Crispy Photo on all of the things. We are Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. We don't really use Twitter, but you know, we're out there. Analog Talk. You'll find our socials. I'll plug my website too, since I'm going to be sharing more work there. Also, I've said this before, I want to start blogging again. You know, I miss just like the Flickr days.
Yeah.
Like here's this body of work here, and that's where I'm going to share it. So Christine, my whole name, Bartolucci.com is my website. So Robbie, thank you so much. Oh, this felt so good. We love talking of just photography. So thank you for nerding out with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
All right, that's going to wrap up this week's episode. First, Chris and I would love to thank Robbie for coming on the show. Dude, Robbie, we love what you're doing. Your videos are so good. They put us in a zen. They get us pumped up to go out and shoot. Thanks so much, Robbie, for taking the time to hang out with us. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for only $1. You can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang nights over there. A bunch of stuff in the archives. And like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. All right, guys, that is going to wrap it up. Thanks again, Robbie, for taking the time to hang out. And guys, we will see you next week with an all new episode. Later.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.